I'm having a hard time nailing down exactly how I feel about PlayStation's E3 2018 press conference, or what the company itself is terming a showcase. If you judge the conference based on its presentation, its cadence, its style, then I think it was a categorical failure. The presser, spread over about 70 minutes, moved a largely standing room only audience through multiple tents, showing little respect for those in attendance, and even a smaller amount of respect for the many, many thousands of us watching from home. I mean, there was literally a 15 or so minute intermission after the first game was shown. From these perspectives, I have no clue whatsoever what Sony was thinking. It made them look small and amateur, especially in light of Microsoft's absolutely stellar press conference yesterday. While I appreciate smaller, more intimate, more off-the-beaten-path takes on typically large affairs, I was pretty blown away by how unaware Sony seems to have been in terms of how this would all come off. But if you're judging the press conference based on the games it showed, then there's really very little to complain about indeed. Could all of these products easily have been shown in detail in a Square Enix-like 30-minute presser? Absolutely. And I know that if you've watched all of my reviews for E3 conferences so far, you're probably getting a bit tired of me harping on time. But it's an important note to keep on hitting with regularity. There's no need to take 90 minutes to do what you can do in 60, which is a lesson Ubisoft probably could have learned earlier today. There's no reason to force a press conference to exist when your lineup doesn't demand it, which I think should be Bethesda's takeaway this year from yesterday's press conference. And with Sony, there's no reason to try and be so cute when you have the best games. And you do, Sony, you have the best games. So get out of the way and let them talk, cut the extraneous crap, and get to the heart of the matter. Sony got there in the end, kind of. But the fluff that surrounded everything leaves a bit of a bad taste in my mouth. It really isn't that hard to at least deliver on reasonable expectations, like normalcy. As predicted, and frankly as spoken about weeks ago by Sean Layden himself, four first-party games were the marquee draw of the event. The Last of Us Part 2, Death Stranding, Spider-Man, and The Ghost of Tsushima. Or Tsushima, I'm not really sure how to say that to be honest. And all four games look spectacular, full stop, no questions asked. They really do. I love that they spent time with each of them, although I think that each demo could have been cut by a third or even half, and still have been as effective and given players exactly what they were looking for. These weren't just trailers, these were demos showing us how each game plays, and I must say my appetite for all four games, while already high, is even higher post-show. Note though that Sony didn't commit to a date for any of these games, though we know Spider-Man is coming out in just a couple of months. It's safe to assume that The Last of Us Part 2 is a 2019 title, but I still wonder about Ghost of Tsushima and Death Stranding, which I think could realistically be 2020 games. And with Days Gone and presumably Dreams both coming in 2019 exclusively to PS4, there's not necessarily a rush to get Kojima's and Sucker Punch's games out, at least from my perspective. Managing the portfolio is always key. What I loved most about The Last of Us Part 2's demo is the parallel structures it draws up for players, the idea that in such a heinous and decaying world, there's some sense of normalcy during quieter times. The scene we're shown of a makeshift dance in a church is the first truly uplifting or even typical scene we've ever glanced in either the original game post-intro or what little we've seen from the sequel. It got my mind moving, wondering what these people's lives are like when they're just living and not trying to survive. Of course, the playable demo in the middle of the dance set everything on its head. The world of The Last of Us Part 2 is just as dangerous, if not even more dangerous, than the original. And the action for anyone that played the first game seems more fluid, more dynamic, and longer ranging too. I know that the demo was likely set up for many of these encounters and little things to occur, but it was still a sight to behold. Naughty Dog really does do it better than anyone else, it's incredible. You can just tell that we're soon going to be playing a sequel every ounce as impactful as the original. Sucker Punch's Ghost of Tsushima was the next item on the first party smorgasbord as we finally got to see the game in action for the very first time. It's truly wonderful having watched Sucker Punch evolve from the studio that did Sly Cooper, to the studio that did Infamous, to the studio that's now doing this. While there are obvious similarities between the games, there are so many differences too, especially with this game as opposed to the first two Sucker Punch PlayStation IP. I'm so intrigued by this one, I really am, though to be honest, it was a little weird seeing actual violence in a Sucker Punch game. Hell, the common thread between all four major first-party demos, and particularly the first three shown, was how violent they were at times. Hell, someone got straight up disemboweled in Naughty Dog's demo, so if you're one of those people that always complains that their trailers are too dark and brutal, well, they aren't listening. I think the game most people wanted to see more than any other was Kojima Productions' Death Stranding, and I suspect the rumor and speculation mills were given plenty of fodder to work with for the months to come, at the very least. For starters, the game looks awesome. I'm so incredibly confused by it, and in fact become more and more confused by it the more I see it. But nonetheless, I love its quirkiness, its weirdness, and its style. That's what Kojima is known for after all, right? His style above all else, his new and unique approaches to gameplay, his reliance on over-the-top theatrics combined with grounded realism. I still don't believe for one second Death Stranding is coming out any sooner than 2020, but as usual, I'd love to be wrong. But I also wonder if we've gotten to the point where we've seen too much. How much is too much anyway? And what's the point of showing so much when there's no attempt to give any of it context? I don't know, it all seems a little strange to me, but that's a brief aside. Spider-Man wrapped things up, and with its exclusive release on PS4 somewhat imminent, I can't help but shake the feeling that it should have been shown first, or certainly not last at least. It looks fantastic though, I can't wait to jump in. Oh, and I suppose it would be fair to point out that a fifth first-party game was shown off, though in a more laid-back and unnoticeable way. The little musical interstitials and cute graphics and the like seem to have come from Media Molecule's dreams, a game in development for so long at this point that I can't even pretend I still care. But I know there are some fans out there really looking forward to this bizarre game, and I wish you all the best in your play, create, share endeavors. A handful of third-party games were also shown off in trailer form, but I think only four of them are really worth talking about here. Control, Resident Evil 2 Remake, Neo 2, and Kingdom Hearts 3. To take the last first, this will now be the third time I'm mentioning Kingdom Hearts 3, which also made appearances at Microsoft's and Square Enix's conferences, so frankly, I'm tired of talking about it. The other three, though, were really nice surprises, especially when it comes to Control, which is a new game from Remedy Entertainment. For those of you that are unfamiliar with Remedy, they're the studio behind the original Max Payne games, but in the last decade, they're better known for a rather cozy second-party relationship with Microsoft. 2010's Alan Wake on Xbox 360 and 2016's Quantum Break on Xbox One are their biggest games to date, and it appears they're not all that interested in remaining stranded on that platform anymore. Remedy is a pretty big dev, so I was surprised to see 505 Games attached as the publisher of this multi-platform effort, but nonetheless, I look forward to seeing more. Resident Evil 2 Remake was confirmed a long time ago, on the back of the re-release of Resident Evil Remake, which of course is a port of the decade-and-a-half-old GameCube remake of the original Resident Evil, called Remake. Do you follow all of that? Anyway, it looks awesome. They did such a nice job with the original remake and its current-gen port, so there's no reason to believe this won't also turn out nicely. And when it comes to Neo 2, well, it's not the biggest surprise. Publisher Tecmo Koei isn't swimming in hits, and PS4-exclusive Neo, which launched in early 2017, was a bit of a surprise around the industry, not only because of how good it is, but because of how well it sold. So they were naturally going to go back to that well, and I'm glad to see that the wheels are already in motion there. As you can see, Sony's E3 presser was truly a tale of two shows, and I'm actually kind of surprised that I don't have more to say about it. The brief just over an hour length of the show certainly has something to do with that, but you can also toss in that there just weren't that many games, especially compared to Microsoft, which proudly boasted 50 games at their conference. Sony was nowhere close. Now, that's not the end of the world, of course, numbers aren't everything, and Sony's first-party showing was certainly leaps and bounds ahead of Microsoft's. But E3 is all about excitement, announcements, and the unexpected, too, and in that way, Sony didn't deliver the goods. Now, I can't feign surprise about any of that because I figured it was going to go something like this. I discussed it at length in my E3 strategies video that went live last week. Sony needed to be patient and not show their hand, and they didn't. There wasn't one first-party announcement of consequence to be seen anywhere. I think that's wise. But for those that had expectations, well, I imagine you're at least a little disappointed right now. Overall, I think Sony is in a holding pattern. With PlayStation 5 games in development, some somewhat far in development at that, you can read in between the lines. Sony's first parties are moving over to the new hardware, and so what's unannounced is probably unannounced for a reason. The hardware hasn't been revealed yet, and it probably won't be revealed until 2019 at the earliest and 2020 at the absolute latest. One thing's for sure though, this press conference set a fuse that will burst a bomb this time next year. Expectations for Sony are going to be gigantic at E3 2019. After all, they hold the cards. But let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Let's enjoy this moment now, and let's call it like it is. The games looked great, the press conference itself was a big mess, and we probably could have done all of that in 30 minutes or 45 minutes at the most. Oh well, it's all about the games, right?